The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by AIB. We see Brave and we're backing it through Brexit.
But first, it's been a tough week for the retailers who've had to shut up shop. Some smaller businesses are planning a campaign of civil disobedience against the huge chains still selling non-essential goods. They say they're mad as hell and they're not taking it anymore. Are they right? We're joined by Damien O'Reilly, lecturer in retail management in TU Dublin, and Rebecca Harrison, owner of Fisher's, a boutique in Newtown Mount Kennedy. You're both very welcome to the programme. Rebecca, if I could go to you first, you're a retailer. Are you mad as hell about this?
Do you know what? I'm not mad as hell, but I am frustrated. I think, look, none of us blame anyone for trying to get around and do business. It has been a tough year for all retailers, no big and small, and we're all just trying to survive and stay going. So I don't blame anyone for trying. However, it does make the playing field very uneven. And for us smaller retailers that don't have the resources to buy in a different extra stock or to completely change our layouts. And also, you know what, we're adhering to the spirit of the guidelines and we want to get rid of this so we can get back to normal.
But there are a number of things going on in this row, Rebecca, as well. I mean, there was a lot of publicity and a lot of anger about queues outside Aldi because people were buying Christmas toys, etc. But then also there are examples of smaller retailers, let's say, who are in clothing and in recent weeks or in the last few days they've started stocking, you know, high-vis jackets and work boots and things like that in order to stay open. Do you think it's fair game, or can you understand some of the thinking behind that?
Well, I think, as I said, I can understand the thinking, and certainly it was a conversation we had. It's okay, well, what do we sell that can be classed as essential wear? But the I suppose the point is that even in that scenario, the guidelines are really clear, and they state that should you sell essential and non-essential items, the non-essential items should be cordoned off. And so you should only be selling the essential items for the period, and that's why you're allowed open. So it's really clear, the guidelines. And, you know, I'm really happy, well, maybe not happy, but I'm fine with adhering to the guidelines and adhering to the spirit of the guidelines, keeping my staff and my customers safe at this time of, you know, high virus levels. And I suppose it's, you know, I understand why the businesses are doing it. I understand why small retailers are switching up. I understand why they're rebelling. You know, there are going to be lots of businesses that close because of this. There were lots of businesses that closed after the first lockdown. There'll be more that close now.
And they are definitely going to find it very difficult. Damien O'Reilly, lecturer in retail management in TU Dublin. That point about cordoning off, it's one thing to have maybe large retail stores that have clothing sections and then they also have grocery sections. There are also shops, and I've seen it, where in ordinary times they sell everything from, you know, picture frames to maybe Halloween costume outfits for kids, but they also sell washing up liquid, they sell nappies, they sell... Is it practical or realistic to cordon off these things for those businesses?
Probably not. If you're even to take the large retailers that are open and are abiding by the regulations, the likes of Tesco, who've cordoned off the F&F, the fashion side of that, or Super Value, you know, who sell other items as well. But you go down to the homeware section, you're finding things that are there, like a basin for your sink or whatever, or other stuff that is non-essential, but they're not being taken off the shelves. So it's a grey area, and it depends.
And are they being sold? I mean, you had a trip to Dundrum Shopping Centre during the week.
Yeah, they're being sold. Yeah. But it's very difficult to take those items off the shelf and not have spaces on the shelf and to be able to cordon off those areas. Because if you have to cordon off the area, then you're talking about ingress and egress and getting out in and out. And in a COVID situation, you know, it creates different scenarios of trying to get route around the store. But I mean, nobody's stopping those from selling. But I mean, what I think is, you know... is, as Rebecca said, is that the retail, the mixed offering, if you have a mixed offering, the guidelines say that it's essential and non-essential retailing, discrete spaces should be made for each of them. So the guidelines are fairly definite.
Have you seen big stores that are not playing by the rules there, well, or that are it falling in between the cracks of the rules?
We know that Dunn stores were open yesterday and the day before. And from what I've, from speaking to people who were shopping there, is that the homeware section, and this is from a colleague who was Stephen's Green is that they have they put two pallets of 2 liter water in the homeware section, as and saying that they're selling food and drink in that area. And
well, I don't know exactly whether the specifics of what the circumstances of it are, but are there cases where you've seen as well, even like smaller shops? We've seen, for example, toy shops that are selling nappies all of a sudden as a way to stay open. What's your take on that? Do you think that that's just, look, none of this should be happening, or is it actually highlighting some of the difficulties around closing retail and defining essential and non-essential?
I think it is. And I think what's happened is that, you know, coming up to Christmas and people have been spending a lot of money, retailers have been spending a lot of money, you know, getting stock. And now they've found, you know, very, very quickly in the space of a couple of weeks is that Christmas has been put on hold for another 6 weeks. And I can see there's a lot of, you know, rage and anger amongst these retailers having bought stock. And, you know, this is maybe their last chance to survive and they might go out of business. But I think, you know, there'll be a groundswell from other retailers, and these breaches won't be tolerated in the long term. And I just, if we look at it from three levels, like the retailers must look at their social responsibility towards what's happening with the virus. And secondly, they must try and not, I would suggest, not to be opportunistic in taking, you know, trade from somewhere else while they've got the opportunity. Customers need to understand the new guidelines and take time to bed in. And I think the government need to engage in discussions with retailers who are breaking the rules, you know, and who are breaking the guidelines that are there.
And there may also be grey areas where it isn't totally clear in how it's defined, what way things are done. So, for example, I noticed that Leo Varadkar during the week said that on this issue that his department had met retailers and so forth, and they said that by selling goods that are not part of their normal business and sales, he said that they'd got a commitment from the retail industry that it would not take advantage by selling products that are not part of their normal sales. But I noticed that Stephen Donnelly, he took the view and he said that a store cannot sell food in one part of the store and clothes in another part of the store. Rebecca, when I remember at the very beginning of the first lockdown, I met someone who had been away in the Canary Islands and had got sort of caught there and just about got back in time for the lockdown. They said that in the Canary Islands, they saw a woman coming out of a pharmacy and she was stopped by a police officer and asked her what she'd bought in the pharmacy. And among the things she had bought were sunglasses and a couple of other non-medical items. And he fined her. And I thought, there's something really ridiculous about that, because in a way, if the shop is open, surely you should be able to buy whatever is for sale in the shop. Is it for sale or is it not for sale? Is that what it's coming to?
Well, I think that is the way that it has gone, if you like, here as well. It's sort of, look, we stock this, whether we stock it normally or not, but if we stock it normally, we should be allowed to sell it if we are allowed to be open because of some other stock we sell. And look, I get that. I mean, you know, even talking about the Aldi and Lidl's, they always have toys coming up to Christmas. So they're not going out of their way to do something different than they would normally do. And I suppose it gives consumers an opportunity to get those things. But I suppose it comes back to that level playing field and the spirit of the situation.
So what's the solution? Is it about getting people to fully get into line with the spirit of the guidelines, or is it about enforcement?
Well, I think it's both, to be honest. And I also think there needs to be a look at the whole sector. You know, this lockdown is very different from the last lockdown. There are a lot more people around and out and working and out and about. And while, you know, the message is the same, the stay home message is the same, it's not in practice the same as it was back then. And so it is like it's very difficult. But there doesn't seem to be much enforcement. I know there's been an awful lot of media coverage on this issue in the last few days, and rightly so. But I also understand consumers' frustrations because they had planned to do it. For us as a retailer, obviously this period from September to December is our most important time of the year. And that's just been cut in half. And there is no way that we as retailers or the consumers can fit all of that trade into the 3 weeks of December.
And that's going to be a massive challenge. I'm afraid, Rebecca, we'll have to leave it there. Rebecca Harrison and Damien O'Reilly, thank you very much for joining us. In fact, one tweet, David Whelan tweeted, if we all look for loopholes, then the virus will win. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Now, thanks for joining us.